Blog Talk Radio.
Double D, with me, as always, is Dan the Man Law. You can find me at Twitter, Folsom County. You can find Dan at DanLaw83.
I'm not dangerous anymore?
No.
I'm not above average?
You still are the above average.
Am I the above average man?
The above average comedian.
Okay.
We have... we're going right into War Games. Not right now. We're going to talk about it, though.
Because I was
going
to say, you scared the crap out of me.
Right now!
No!
We have three of the four members of Team ECWA. Three of the four.
Don't know why that makes me laugh.
I was wondering. I really but before I get into any of that, before I get into... Robert Knight's back. I'm excited about that as well. Tank Toland. Former WWE star. Some people call him a dick.
Yeah, I was going to say he was such a dick.
So we have that as well. Mark Go Thompson.
Is dead.
Out on assignment once again.
Sorry, Mark. I love you. Follow him at Go Thompson on Twitter.
Go Thompson. Go Thompson. You can subscribe to us on iTunes.
Go Thompson.
Leave a review as well. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
And don't forget, when you go to the Facebook pages and Twitter, man, send us comments. If you have something to say to the show, send us a message. Stalk us. Whatever you got to do to get our attention.
It's not too hard, quite.
No.
Not too hard to get my attention.
Nope.
We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com.
Thank you last night, Brady, for letting me come on the show. And
Brady
once again...
But Brady will be returning the favor. He is coming on next week as part of the Wrestling Roundup.
Woo! Oh, another wrestling. Those are my favorites.
So, Brady Hicks will be there. Will be here, not there. Here.
He'll be here, not over there. He'll be right over here.
You can follow us at Twitter at Hiac Talk Radio. That's HIAC Talk Radio. And you can like the Facebook. That's facebook.com/cellinhell.
Down the hell. That's where you leave us. If you have something to say, leave a message there and get on the air.
Briefly, I want to go over the weekend. I was invited to a seminar at McKenzie's Martial Arts. It's McKenzie's Taekwondo and Hapkido Institute. And I just want to say thank you.
God bless you.
To Master McKenzie. The hospitality of both you and your staff. Got to meet Dan Severin. I may have a big announcement when everything is fleshed out.
May, or kind of just might spring it.
I may, because I like to wait until everything's confirmed.
Yeah, no kidding.
One email back, that's all I need.
I like to wait till the last minute.
You can find out more information about McKenzie's Martial Arts at www.mckenziesmartialarts.com, and that's McKenzies. So that's McKenziesmartialarts.com, and ask about their free 30-day trial membership.
And don't forget to mention the pies.
More people will show up if you offer punch
and
pie. That's what I definitely say. So, as I was saying, tonight we have a great show. We have three of the four members of Team ECWA, because that's coming up at War Games this Saturday. And Dan, what do you think about War Games?
Excitement is not to worry. When we were there last month, and they said, "Okay, one on
you're breaking
ECWAProWrestling.com." You will. Oh no! Am I breaking up?
You are breaking up a little bit there, sir.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you just fine, Dan.
Okay, cool. I'm going to plug the ECWAProWrestling.com, and if you buy the Raising the Bar DVD from that website, $15.
With shipping, it's $10 in person.
Right, $10 in person. You will actually see my head explode at the announcement when they challenged to a War Games match, because in that other promotion so many years ago from down south, one of my favorite matches was the War Games match, and the fact that I'm going to be able to see it live, as many wrestling shows I've been to, I've never seen a cage match.
Never seen a cage match?
I've never seen a cage match.
I'm not sure. I've seen so many shows, I can't personally remember if I've seen a cage match or not.
I've unfortunately had the displeasure of watching China wrestle, but I never saw a cage match.
I have seen a stretcher match.
I have seen a stretcher match. I've seen a Falls Count Anywhere match. I've seen a three-way dance between Bam Bam Bigelow, Ric Flair, and Scott Hall.
Really?
Yeah, that was at the Spectrum WCW House Show, December 99, excuse me.
That's an interesting trio.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, it was December 98. It was when, you know, the whole thing about Bam Bam coming in from ECW, and he wasn't supposed to be there, and he wanted to fight Goldberg, and, you know, they wouldn't let them. But on the house shows, amazingly, magically, he was contracted to wrestle.
There you go. Now, you briefly spoke about Chris Wilde's challenge. What I want to do is play that challenge so our listeners who may have not been there can get caught up to speed.
If you weren't there, shame on you.
What are you doing? Security! Security! Let them be! You let them be right now! You let them be right now! You don't touch them! You don't touch them! You know what? Everybody! You know what? You black heart! You doubted me! Since day one! And right now, you can know I'm not completely standing. I don't think there's a question in anybody's mind.
Members on right now. I have team captain Chris Wilde. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Pretty good.
I have Aiden Chambers, the Grand Slam champion.
Hello, Neighborino.
All right. And I have Kakoa, the Flying Hawaiian on as well.
What's going on, guys?
Okay, so Dan has the opening question. Take it away, Dan.
All right, gentlemen, pleasure speaking with you again tonight, and I just wanted to say War Games, I'm looking forward to this big time. Chris, I just wanted to ask you right off the bat, was this something that you had had planned all along just in case something happened, or was this spur of the moment, we're doing it in War Games?
Desperate times call for desperate measures, you know. After everything we did at that Falls Count Anywhere match, I mean, what else do you do after that?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'd be an idiot to say I had this planned all along. Who wants to go into hell?
Now, Keikoa, you have been along for this ride against the Blackhearts for pretty much the whole time. Was this something that you were looking forward to finally be one of the people to end this whole thing with the Blackhearts?
I mean, yeah, definitely. The way I look at it, with what I've said before in previous interviews, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, the new school of ECWA. Definitely being part of this team is something that I take pride in, and especially because I've never been in a steel cage, so I definitely want to be part of this.
And now, Aiden, now this, last month was the first match I ever saw you wrestle in. Highly impressed. What are you doing? And actually, to start with you, but all three of you, what are you guys doing to prepare mentally, physically for something? It's War Games. What are you doing to prepare for this?
Well, here's what I think. I think that Blackheart themselves have such an ego about everything that they just think they're going to walk in and handle business. And the good part about having an ego is it usually comes with a lack of education, which is something that, thankfully, Chris Wilde, Keikoa, and myself all come in with, along with a lot of pride in representing ECWA. And these guys have an ego, they have no pride, they have no shame, and that in and of itself is going to lend to their downfall immediately. If you don't come in with any kind of reason other than just being yourself and thinking you're awesome, you are going to lose, bottom line.
And to put it in layman's terms, I mean, they're a bunch of jerk-offs, the Blackheart. they're going to walk in there and they're going to take us all lightly. I've been in this war with them and I'm ready to just get it over with. Keikoa, man, he's ready for his first cage match. He's going to come in there with a lot of high intensity. And Aiden's been through these steel cage matches in ECWA before. I mean, you can't take us lightly, and unfortunately, I think that's what they're going to do. And they got another thing coming when they face us in that ring.
Now, how about you, Keiko? How are you preparing for this?
I mean, I feel like, you know, you really can't prepare for something like this. I mean, how do you prepare for, you know, basically complete utter destruction? Yeah, you can't do it. I'm just trying to, you know, stay focused on what, you know, what always gets me to these points, what gets me into these, you know, big time matches, and just kind of stay the course. And I know that I got good guys that are on my team, so I feel like I'm over prepared already.
Excellent answer. Now, what I was wondering is, I understand if you can't answer this question. I guess this is more for Chris since he's the team captain, but have you come out with a strategy yet as to who's going to go in first and if you have the advantage, who's going in next, that sort of thing?
There's really no strategy for something like War Games. We haven't exactly talked to the ECW officials about how this is going to happen. I mean, if you know from the old WCW War Games, the teams would pick whoever went first, and then there would usually be a coin toss to see who had the advantage after that as far as the third man to come in would be. So, there's really no strategy. We all get together that day. I mean, I'm going to lean on Aiden because he's had, I think, the most experiences in these cage matches. It's going to be one of those things where we're going to figure it out that day.
Okay, now, Aiden, you actually were in a Four Corners contenders match with two members of Blackheart. Did that give you any type of competitive edge? Because you kind of scouted them firsthand in that match.
I did, and the biggest thing you understand is that they're dirty and they're cheap. And knowing that going into it, you got to match it. I mean, no holds barred, there's a cage around you. You have four sides of steel there to tear flesh, bones, break bones, all the fun stuff that comes along with the dangers. And the biggest thing I think that goes to their disadvantage is they have fear. You know, they're so interested in themselves and they're so interested in protecting themselves and being the victory. They're scared of what might happen if they don't come out victorious. And knowing the guys that are on my team, knowing myself, it's not really a question of if. It's going to be when we win. How we win is not really a factor of the matter.
Very well put. Now, I was just wondering another thing here, because Chris, you've kind of concentrated mostly on Breaker Morant since March at the.
You say Breaker Moron?
I did. That's the chant.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's the chant that we try to get everybody energized with. Breaker Moron, clap 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 clap. But anyway. You've kind of concentrated the past two shows on Breaker Morant. Do you think maybe that's not a good thing per se, because you've only been concentrating on him?
Well, I mean, I've had to. You know, we had fights over the TWA Heavyweight Championship, so you know, I was kind of forced into that. But this has been going on for almost a year, and you know, I've been able to get in there with, you know, Josh Daniels and Bobby Shields as well. If you remember a couple shows ago, Mustafa Aziz sat his fat ass on my ribs and busted me up pretty good. So, you know, I mean, it's not like I've never been in the ring with these guys. You know, you talk about, you know, Aiden says they're dirty and cheap, and I completely agree with them. I mean, and, you know, I've heard those same terms being used by Joel Goodhart to describe his boyfriends. So, you know, I'm ready. I've scouted all these guys, and, you know, like I said, even if I went in to this not knowing any of them, I mean, look at the guys on my team. I mean, we're going to go in there and not only looking to destroy the Blackhearts once for all, but to prove ourselves in our own ways.
So you're not going to have any problem getting distracted by going after only Breaker Moran, or you're going to not be able to concentrate on him and just go after everybody you can.
Well, this isn't just about him, man. This is the Blackhearts, and that's... You know, when I punch him in the face, I see Bobby Shields' face. I see Josh Daniels' face. I see Joel Goodhart's face, unfortunately. But, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, I'm not going to be distracted. Just my hate doesn't just go to Breaker. It's to all of them, every single one of them.
Now, Keikoa, I'm going to ask you this question. We haven't heard from you in a little bit. Do you feel that Joel Goodhart roaming on the outside, that gives them more of an advantage once all four – all eight competitors are in the ring?
No, I believe that it's really not going to matter. I mean, unless he really decides to kind of step into the fire himself and climb into the cage personally or get through the door somehow, or, you know, however he's going to get in the ring. If he really wants to, you know, step into the wrong territory, then, you know, that's his decision. But I don't think that it's going to have any type of edge once all eight of us are inside that ring and all hell's breaking loose. I'm pretty sure he's not going to want to come anywhere near that.
You never know with Joel Goodhart. We had him on a few weeks ago, and he sounds like he's ready to step in there.
Yeah, pretty big words for a pretty big man, I guess.
I know with him. He associates with a guy who was named Breaker. What does that say about anybody? If he's got enough sack to actually engage himself in something like this, maybe he's dumb enough to actually get in there.
You never know.
You know, you guys need there's a match I had with Cujo a couple shows ago, and it's on YouTube. If I got thrown outside the ring, and Joel Goodhart decided he wanted to kick me, I want you to watch how he kicked me and then ask us again if we're scared of Joel Goodhart.
I was actually there.
To put it this way, my 2-year-old daughter kicks harder than he does. So, I mean, I'm not scared of Joel. I mean, you know, and I'll, to quit joking around, he does have, a lot of knowledge about this kind of thing. So, you know, everything that's going to come from him is going to come before the match. And, like, I think they're so cocky, you know, it's not even going to matter.
I mean, isn't Joel legally a senior citizen by now? I'm pretty sure he's not even going to be able to make it up the cage.
Yeah, he's pretty sure he came up with the name Blackheart.
Dan, I believe you were trying to get something in there.
No, I was just going to say, be careful of that big bad bowling pin.
Yeah.
Or motor vehicles. You never know with Blackheart.
Now, I didn't even know he could drive.
Who knows? Who knows what was going on? Now, July 14th has finally come. The fans are very excited. Each of you, what are you going to bring to this match? Like, is there something that we're going to see out of each one of you individually that you want to show the fans? And I'll start with Aiden.
Thankfully, with over, gosh, it's been 8 years, 8 years experience with the fans of ECWA and the company of itself, they've seen damn near everything you could see out of a human being aside from death. However, if the opportunity presents itself, I swear on my life, they will see something out of me they have never seen before. And thankfully for Blackheart, that's going to be the last thing they expect.
Okay, Chris?
I'm going to kind of, you know, say like Aiden said, you know, at that last match, you know, you saw some things for me that were things I've never done before. And, you know, when it comes down to it, that's the exact same thing that I'm going to do inside this cage. You know, this isn't just an opportunity to rid ECWA of Blackheart, but for all three of us, you know, this is an opportunity to showcase, you know, something special and something different that we have to not just the fans, but to the wrestling world. I mean, it's not every day that you wrestle inside a steel cage and, you know, not just wrestle, but make it entertaining. So, you know, Saturday I'm going to absolutely bring out everything that I have and put myself all into the situation. You know, it's going to be insane.
Now, Keiko, this is your first steel cage match, so what are you bringing?
I don't know what I'm bringing. You know, I obviously, you know, like you just said, I've never been in a steel cage match before. I've never been in this type of situation. But I do know that any time that I've been put in a situation where, you know, I'm either backed into a corner or, you know, my back's against the wall or something that I'm not familiar with, the best always comes out. And there's always something that's going to be worthwhile to see. And I'm pretty sure, Dean, that you've said before that every time that you've come to ECWA, you've always seen something great out of me, and I really appreciate that compliment. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, the fans that of ECWA and the fans across, you know, every show that I go to, you know, you talk about, like, other superstars, you know, that they've seen, like, they, you know, people remember seeing CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan in gymnasiums. Well, I'm pretty sure that after this Saturday, people are going to remember when Team ECWA defeated the Blackhearts.
Very well spoken. I you guys really are giving me such good stuff tonight. Now, Aiden, you're coming back from an injury. I know you've been back for probably about 3 or 4 months at this point. But can you talk about the injury and some of the obstacles that you had to overcome just to get back in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, it was a full femur and hip fracture, which femur being the most awesome, biggest bone in your body is a fun one to break, and your hip is always good because you would love to be able to use that one more often than not. Am I right? Okay. I mean, there's a lot of trepidation that comes with getting back in there. You know, can you go as hard as you used to go? Can you fly the way you used to fly? Can you catch people off guard the way you used to? You never know. You got to get in there. Experience is always going to be the best teacher. And the thing with our team is not only do we have the experience, not only do we have the confidence, not only do we have the edge as far as talent-wise, but we believe. We believe that Blackheart lives by their name. They suck. They're black at heart. They'll turn on each other's backs at a moment's notice. And that's not something that guys like us do. We have a lot of integrity. We have a lot of pride in what we do. And we're there to defend it. We're Team ECWA, 44 years strong. What more do they think that they're going to get on top of that? I mean, injury or no injury, it's a sad story for every one of them.
Now, just as a follow-up to that, your first match back was actually against Papadon, and I think you proved, without a shadow of a doubt, that you still could fly, you could still go. So that definitely what was that whole card from Carney's Point was a really hot card, but I'm getting a little distracted. Now, Chris.
Yes.
Josh Daniels, I think he could be the dark horse for the Blackhearts. And what I mean is, once all eight men are in, it's surrender or submit. He is a submission specialist. You guys are more known for your high-flying abilities, for things of that nature. Are you kind of worried with Josh Daniels having that type of background, that submission specialist background?
I'm not worried about anything going into this. I almost got run over by a car driven by Bobby Shields last month. But
even the Bobby Shields can barely run a car.
In all fairness to, you know, Josh, he's an amazing wrestler. You know, he can make you tap out in just about any way. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'll sit here and tell you the last time that me and him went one-on-one, he locked me in a hold, and, you know, I felt like I was going to die. So, yeah, he's made me submit before. He could be the dark horse, but this isn't a submission wrestling contest. This isn't a 30-minute Papadon match. This is, you know, a war. And there's, you know, if he locks me in a submission hold, after everything I've been through, there's no way that he's going to get me twice.
Now, I have a question I don't know y'all can answer. I'm going to ask it anyway, in both of it. I'm going to ask in a serious and joking manner. Conspicuous by his absence is the fourth member. Is the team still together, and is the fourth member Sting?
Top for that. I haven't heard from the fourth member. I just haven't, you know. I don't know if he's been busy or I don't know. I haven't heard from him. I don't know about my teammates. But
he probably tried to call. That mask is very blocking.
Yeah, I'm just concentrating on the three of us
okay.
Right now.
Cool.
You know,
are you worried that if only three show up that you're gonna be literally, not only literally outnumbered, but you're going to have a problem.
I mean, obviously, the numbers advantage would be to their, to them, but, you know, again, like, I have complete faith in the other two guys that are on the line here with me, that they're going to give me 100%, and I'll take Kakoa's 100%, Aiden's 100%, over
right.
any of their guys' 100% any day of the week.
So you know what? I'm looking. I can't tell you. I could say 100 times. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys wrestle again, and it wouldn't do it justice. Go ahead, Dean.
What I was going to say, what I believe Chris is saying is that even if it is a numbers advantage, the heart, the integrity of Team ECWA would definitely.
Oh, thanks for the translation, Dean.
Would definitely.
Yeah,
I hate
yeah,
you.
Thank you,
Dean.
Translate. I'm Google Translate tonight. That's what I'm trying to do. So, guys, any last words? I'll start with Kakoa first because he's kind of been in the background for a little bit. Now, any last words for those nasty Blackhearts?
Any last words? The last words I'll save until after the bell is rung and we let them know that we're the winners.
Nice.
All right, Aiden.
You know what? Honestly, their true colors are going to show. I think, honestly, it would be in our advantage to be 3-on-4. If it is 3-on-4, it's four people that are going to turn their backs on each other at some point because they're going to run each other into the cage. They're going to run each other into each other, and it's just going to be an absolute mess. We'll be on each other's side. We'll be in control. We'll be locked together. It's lights out. It's 1, 2, 3, up and over the cage. Three of us holding each other, four of us holding each other's hands in the air. ECWA, at the end of the day, comes on top like it always does.
And Chris?
You know, this for me, ECWA has always been an ultimate goal where to be. And that's no, like, BS for an angle or storyline. And there's nothing that I won't do to make sure that we prevail. You know, when I get in the ring, you know, I know that the two guys that are on the line with me, that they're going to bring out their all. I mean, you can watch any of their matches and see how great they are. You know, I don't have to say that. When I get in there, you're going to see Chris Wilde like you've never seen before. I'm gonna, you know, you're getting in there with a lot of long hair, tattoos, and attitude bigger than Papadon's ego. I'm ready to. I'm ready to just absolutely sink my teeth into this match, and you know, we're not gonna quit. Blackhearts, I really hope you eat a good lunch that day, because you might not be able to eat dinner.
So it's
nice.
To translate for you, Dean, that means we're going to kick their ass.
Thank you.
So it's this Saturday at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. ECWA presents War Games. You have these three gentlemen, a fourth member. We're not sure what's going on, but it's ECWA versus the Blackhearts. Main event. It's going to be great. Guys, thanks for showing up tonight. And each of you are welcome back anytime. Well, Chris and Keikoa, you've been here so many times already. You already know that. Aiden, I'd like to extend a warm invitation for another more extended interview some other time.
Translation, come on back now, year.
But guys, good luck. And unless you have anything else, like, is there anything you guys wanted to plug?
That's just true. Shoot, I'll plug my Twitter any part of the day. Follow me at my name, Aiden Chambers, at Aiden Chambers. I will entertain you. I will make you happy. I will compliment others. I will compliment you. I will downgrade those that you don't like. And I'll make everything fun and light and enjoyable.
All right. How about you, Kay Cohen?
Anything to plug? Well, since Aiden's, you know, plugging his Twitter, I guess I can plug mine. Mine is at KKLFH. And make sure that you are following me on Twitter, because starting next week, I leave for my European tour. I will be touring Europe for the next 6 weeks. Reason that you should be following my Twitter is because, one, you'll get complete updates, and you'll also get the links for sneak previews of my upcoming DVD that will come out once I get back, Warrior's Journey, the European tour. So make sure you pick up a copy, because pre-orders are already off the charts. I actually sold a lot already.
And how about you, Chris?
You can follow me at the Chris Wild on Twitter. I don't say anything because not many people have followed me. So follow me and maybe
not
I might
with
say
that attitude.
I've been finding the Twitter thing, man. Like Facebook, you know, I can do all day long, but
hashtag fail.
Yeah, it's still a number sign to me. Damn it.
Okay, so guys, it's this Saturday. We'll be there live, actually, doing a pre-show, and we hope to get you over collectively as a team, so we can get your last thoughts before stepping into that, the four sides of steel. But you guys have a great night. We'll talk again very soon.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
So there we go, Team ECWA. Dan, I believe you have a shout-out.
I do. Translation, I have a shout-out. After all that, I did want to shout-out Pinnacle Sean Patrick on Twitter, at PinnacleSP. Follow him. He is the world's greatest Bama fan and a big fan of some guy named Jesus.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
I'm sorry. Yes, Jesus. Jesus is number one. I'm not sure who Jesus is, but...
something about Team Taz Dojo 2 or something like that.
No, that's where Aiden and this guy train, I would imagine.
Yes, I... Translation, thank you very much, Dean.
You're welcome. That's why I'm here. I want to play... we already said Brady Hicks. We're there right now, but here's a commercial. check out his website.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, the dating and relationship show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content, This Week in Wrestling, Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie, WSU and ECWA TV, Completely Damaged, Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin, and so much more. Check it out today.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Now is the time that I know a few of our fans, actually a majority of our fans, including myself, I consider myself a fan.
Nah, I don't like it very much.
But Robert Knight, the Knight Rider, Robert Knight is back tonight. He hasn't been here for 3 weeks. The fan mail has been pouring in. I picked two of the best fan mail letters. And Robert Knight, in his absence, a few controversies have popped up.
Yeah, just a few.
We are going to allow Robert Knight to have a free forum here tonight to clear the air. And my goodness, Dan, what do you have to say about tonight?
I've been on special assignment. We've been teasing it. I've been privy to a little bit of information. And when I say a little bit, maybe a centimeter much of information. Is that a measurement? Is that proper?
A centimeter much? No.
A centimeter much?
No, I don't think so.
Translation, just a little bit of information. And I can't wait for him to get on here and tell us what's going on and give us the big announcement.
Well, without further ado, Dan, we always start out with a theme. Here goes. I really have to go back and edit this because it's the theme music that goes on forever. Robert, you're back. How are you tonight?
The Knight Rider is back. I'm doing fabulous, and it seems like it's been a lot longer than 2.5 hours since I've been on with you guys, but it's definitely good to be back.
It seems like 2.5 years since you've been on with us.
It really has. We missed you. I'm so glad you're back. Now, I'm not sure where you want to start, but I'm just going to say controversy. You go ahead.
Go for it.
I mean, let's ease into it, I mean, since we've got a little bit of time here. I've had a lot happen over the past 3 weeks. I've been taking some time off. Kit and I were, you know, taking a break from chasing the bad guys. We were out in the islands. First thing that happened to me, as I came back from vacation, and this is 100% shoot, I know sometimes I get a little crazy with my stories, but this is a shoot. I got two certified letters. One came from my cable provider, and the other came from NBC Universal, and it was threatening a possible lawsuit if I continued to use copyrighted music on my fan mail segments. That's a shoot. I'm working on a way to post those letters on Facebook. I just have to block my address and stuff like that out. Now, they had my IP address, and they didn't say what song specifically, but it said repeated use of, you know, copyrighted music without permission. So I had to kind of readjust what I'm going to do with Fan Mail Season 2. I'm going to get back to the basics and make it about the actual letters that I do get each and every day, and I have to kind of you know, tweak the music a little bit and try to save myself from a lawsuit because, you know, Kit and I chasing the bad guys got to pull back from any lawsuit situations.
That's for sure. That's, wow. So you come home, you have obviously, was it a cease and desist or was just?
No, it was pretty much just a warning, you know, saying if it continues, this might end up this way. So it's not anything that was major, but they gave me time to work on it. But
oh, that's nice of them.
Exactly. Mm. But the first season of Fan Mail actually led into what is one of my big announcements today. And I was offered a project to work on a weekly web series, which is going to be based around the adventures of Robert Knight and should be starting sometime this fall.
Dude, that's awesome.
Now, where is that going to be housed? What website? What's going on with
that? It's going to be run weekly on Blip TV as well as posted on YouTube after it airs on Blip TV.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, I knew Blip TV.
Yeah, so it should be pretty cool. I'm kind of new to it myself, but I'm learning as we go along, and I got a few of the scripts already, and it's going to be something really cool. It's not just a traditional, you know, short with me running around chasing bad guys. It's going to be a lot of cool special effects and some storylines, and we're going to intertwine wrestling angles into the show, and it's these guys have some pretty cool ideas.
Nice.
Now, who are you working with? Are you privy to give us that information?
I'm actually, right now, I'm kind of hush-hush about it because I have to wait for the company itself to make it. They have a few series which are going to debut along with mine, so I'm going to let them, you know, announce the name of the company and what's going on with that. But it should be very, very soon. Like I said, we're already in pre-production right now with some of the episodes.
I'm assuming it has nothing to do with the letter-writing people.
No, not at all.
I didn't think so.
Okay, so we're easing into things now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was easy.
A little bit of controversy on a certain fan page. Do you want to go into that now, or is
sure.
there a little bit of a backstory that you want to tell first? I'm not sure how you want to handle it.
Yeah, this, I've been my mouth has been watering for this.
I mean, I don't really know how to get into it easily. There have been, as you know, there have been no shows recently with New Moon Rising Wrestling, and there's been a lot of conflict. A few months ago, there was some problems that went on the Facebook page with Justin America and with Crab for Face, Dan Cage. You know, we tried to work around that, and there's just been a constant tension. And, again, I'm speaking for myself because there hasn't been any kind of announcements made or anything, but sometimes things look better on paper than they actually turn out to be. And I think a lot of times people go into business for themselves instead of for the better of the company. And I think the powers that be at New Moon Rising Wrestling definitely realized that was going on along the way when, you know, when they paired up with the Monster Factory early on, it was a pairing that seemed to be, you know, something very good. What New Moon Rising Wrestling did for the Monster Factory in the past year was more than the Monster Factory's had for the past 12 years with OTW.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The name's gotten out there. Larry got back into things. We've had, you know, former WWE guys coming out of the woodwork. We've had, you know, mainstream tryouts going on. It's been a big deal. And I think New Moon Rising Wrestling had a lot to do with that resurgence. And then when they started to get that resurgence, they kind of put New Moon Rising Wrestling on the back burner. And it became all about the Monster Factory and even some of the shows. I mean, there was a show a few months back when it started off with you know, a 20-minute endless rambling from Dan Cage, which then led into Larry Sharp being presented with the Monster Factory Championship belt. And then that has nothing to do with New Moon Rising Wrestling. And, you know, a lot of guys got tired of it, I think, but a few of them didn't want to speak up. And I'm the one sitting here, you know, I'm reading these posts, I'm reading everything that's going on, and I'm thinking, damn, it's been 3 months since we had a show, and all I see is constant promotion of the Monster Factory and very little for New Moon Rising Wrestling, so I decided to speak up about it, and Dan chose to make it personal and attack me and say, I'm nothing more than a wannabe wrestler who's afraid to get in the ring with guys. I mean, and I gave it right back to him, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of the controversy that went down was about. I think he made it, you know, I went by what I was told about how some of the backstage stuff was going on, and I think Dan just, you know, he fell back into a corner and instead of defend himself, decided to attack me personally. And we can you know, do that all day long as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Now, what is the history between you and Crab for Face, Dan Cage? What's going on there? I heard that Well, I actually read that you respected him 12 years ago, and now not so much.
Right. He and I, he was actually training a while before I started. I mean, I started training in 2000, I believe, at the Monster Factory, and he had been there, I'm not sure how long. And he and I mean, the group of guys that I hung out with was Cliff Compton, Tank Tolan. You know, that was my crew of people that I trained with from the time I got there. Dan and I always got along. We just didn't hang out outside the ring, but I never had a problem with him, and he was always a hard worker. He and I had one tag match together against two guys who, again, this is my opinion, but I think are the biggest scumbags both in the ring and out of the ring, and that's Homicide and Boogaloo. We worked those two guys in a tag match for WXW, and in the match, Homicide gave me some kind of pump handle, you know, half body slam, trying to look cool and not protect me, obviously, and dropped me on my neck. So I,
ow,
you know, had two bulging discs in my back instantly from the time I hit the mat. I'm telling him that I'm hurt, ooh, and the guy's still trying to pick me up. You know, he's not listening to me. The ref's telling everybody he's hurt. The guy's, you know, still wants to go on with the match. And to Dan's credit, Dan got in the ring and fought those guys for me. And I always had a tremendous amount of respect for what he did that day.
Wow.
You know, not only during that, but, you know, he was there with me when the doctors were checking me out and stuff. And the reason I said that about Homicide and Boogaloo is because those were the only two guys that didn't ask how I was doing.
Mm.
You know, those are the guys that injured me, not being safe, didn't ask how I was doing. And, you know, not to make a long story even longer, but Matt Stryker was a guy that was on the show, and I had only known him as an acquaintance from the shows, and he actually got my phone number and called me during the week to see how I was doing.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I always had a great respect for him from that. Matt's a good guy. But, yeah, so me and Dan had that going, and Dan was actually injured for also in WXW, I think, a month or so after that, and he disappeared for a while. So he and I, you know, he went in and out with injuries, and I saw him here and there, and that's been it. When New Moon Rising Wrestling was started again, we had asked Dan to be a part of it, and originally Dan said, no, I can't be a part of it right now. I'm going to be a comedian. Now, the guy hadn't wrestled a match in 5 years. He was going to be a comedian. You know, that's cool. We offered you to be a part. Then he says, well, I'm going to do my comedy, so maybe I can be a commentator for you guys. All right, so you can be a commentator. You know, and as we started building things on, he wanted to get more and more involved. So the head of New Moon Rising Wrestling, Jake Bishop, offered him the opportunity to head up the Monster Factory in charge of promotion and help out as one of the trainers. And, you know, I think from there is when Dan actually just talked himself more and more into believing his own hype. I mean, the guy talks like he's a WWE Hall of Famer if you read any of his tweets and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm a nobody in the business. You know, I'm the first one to admit that. I'm happy with the things that I've done, but I'm a nobody in the business, but I've done 10 times more than that guy's done. You know, and for him to sit and talk down on me about my ideas and how I choose to express myself, I live 2.5 hours, no pun intended, away from the training facility. So, and I've been wrestling for 12 years. If I can't get down there every day to train, you know, and I have personal stuff going on as well, for him to sit there and knock me for not being able to train when the guy hadn't been in a ring in 5 or 6 years when I was working the indies all over the place, that's a slap in the face. And I'm not going to, you know, sit and let him talk to me or anybody else like that, because to me, he's the farthest person from paying his dues that should be knocking anybody right now.
So that's the controversy. Now, where do things stand right now?
Or where do they lie?
Yeah.
I know where things lie with me is that I'm a proud graduate of the Monster Factory. I have all the respect in the world, but I am no longer affiliated with the Monster Factory. Again, I have the United States Championship here, and that's a New Moon Rising Wrestling title. So, you know, I've talked to the board of directors, and again, those guys are pretty darn mysterious, and they're not letting me in on anything. What they did tell me was that there is going to be a big announcement on the New Moon Rising Wrestling website, which is nmrwrestling.com, as well as on the New Moon Rising Wrestling group page on Facebook.
Okay.
At the end of the week. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be, but, you know me being the investigator that I am, is Kit uncovered some information also that there are rumblings of a new building, which is close to where the New Moon Rising Wrestling building was in Gloucester City. And there's going to be, you know, a possible show announcement, a possible building, possible new fans, new school. I mean, this is just rumors. This is not anything official, but
okay.
It's going to be something big. And I think 1 year of being dormant and being, you know, lackluster for what we can accomplish is going to be made up for in a whole lot of ways once this announcement is made.
So it sounds like that there might be a branch off completely.
It could be. Like I said, the board of directors is going to make that announcement. I'm just going by what I've been told. But I'm excited just to get back in the ring because ever since I won my U.S. title back fair and square from Mike Reed before his match with Luis Martinez, I've been dying to get in the ring and defend it. And especially with guys like American Roughneck running their mouth. I mean, I got to get back in the ring, and I won't do it anywhere but New Moon Rising Wrestling under their own banner.
Now, speaking of American Roughneck, Dan, you have a letter from perhaps American Roughneck. Take it away, Dan.
Okay. Sorry, I was distracted by something personal at home. I'm good. All right. Dear Robert, so glad to have you back. I have been bored the past few weeks without being able to follow your adventures. I think you'll be proud of me, though. I've been working on my balance, and I've only fell 6 times over the past 3 weeks. Anyway, I'm going on vacation myself. I found the only place in the world with a Roughneck fan base, Branson, Missouri, and I'm headed there to spread the word to the people. Don't worry, I'll still be following you, your work on the internet. Your biggest fan in life, American Roughneck.
The American Roughneck. You know, I miss the fan mail from that guy because he is always entertaining, and I always wonder how can a guy manage to write a letter that's actually legible when he's kind of, you know, flat on his back and writing upside down. He's good. He's good. I'm glad he only fell 6 times because that's an improvement. But American Roughneck, let's just wait for this announcement this week and see if the board of directors has a, you know, one more announcement in their bag and they can sign the dotted line for me and you, because sooner or later this has got to happen. I'm going to give you the opportunity to get in the ring with your hero.
Okay. Now, the next letter I have is from perhaps one of the most respected journalists on the independent wrestling scene.
Is it Bill Apter?
Not Bill Apter. Bigger.
No.
Okay.
Bigger than Apter.
Vic dear... Venom?
Vic Venom. Dear Mr. Knight, I've been reading all over the web that you have some big news for us. So please, can you fill us in on what's up, champ? And by the way, will you be a guest of mine on New Moon Rising Wrestling TV and be a guest at my home for dinner? I will show you my plate collection, and we can listen to Huey Lewis on vinyl. Your pal, Captain Dave.
Oh, wow. Captain Dave stepping up with the fan letters.
Yes,
unbelievable. You know, I would absolutely love to be a guest on New Moon Rising Wrestling TV if I only could find out when the heck it was on and what channel you could find that thing on, because I hear it's pretty good television.
I have heard about New Moon Monster Rising Wrestling TV for quite some time. And
yeah, yeah, it airs on DirecTV, but they don't let anybody watch their show.
It's a Viacom.
It's a Viacom company.
I actually saw what I believe was the first interview done for New Moon Rising Wrestling TV.
No, that was China's porn.
Oh, that's right. Very good point. I was wondering why that guy had forearms like Popeye.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I saw him interviewing Justin America before one of our shows with another one of his, well, I think it's his broadcast partner, Smokin' Joe Effin' Hale.
What's he smoking?
Joe Hale is holding the camera. Captain Dave is interviewing Justin. It was a great 2-minute promo about New Moon Rising and everything else. And honest to God, when he was done, they look at Justin and they say, "Can you do it again? We forgot to hit record." And I said, "That's the greatest interview I've ever seen of all time, and it had nothing to do with Justin, even though he's my buddy."
Oh, if you can find that video, I need
to see
it. I'd love
to find it.
I need to see that. Now, Robert, thank you for going over all the controversies from the past couple of weeks. Dan, do you have anything else for him?
No, I just, you know, lived up to expectations. I've been waiting for this, and it was a pleasure, and I'm glad to know that you're doing well, and I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Now, is there anything else you wanted to plug? You already plugged New Moon Rising Wrestling, the website. How about anything personally?
Again, my Twitter is still at RobertKnight_, because we can't get that actual Twitter handle back from that business guy.
That letter writer people.
Exactly. I'm going to have to go. Yeah, those letter writers, I got to go after everybody. I'm going to see if I can get that businessman using my Twitter name to go after the guys trying to sue me for fan mail, and then everybody will be happy.
You have a good point there, Robert. Robert, it's always a pleasure every time you come on. And again, you already know, you're invited back next week. If you have anything else, by then, that big announcement from New Moon Rising Wrestling could be coming out. So you're invited back to discuss that. But you have a great week.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot again. I appreciate it. It's good to be back. And remember, one man can make a difference.
All right, everyone. That was Robert Knight. Dan.
Man. That's one of my favorite segments. And again, I appreciate and love talking to all these guys in the business, whatever step they are in the business. But that's one of my favorite segments every week, talking to that guy. Robert Knight just is where it is, man.
It certainly is. The golden tongue of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Now, I do... So the Monster Factory... And let me get this straight, because I am not 100% familiar with everything that's going on. Monster Factory jumps on, or pretty much jumps on NMR Wrestling. Get some notoriety. Wow, I can't. It gets some notoriety, and then now they're pushing the company back. And I mean, that's it. It's over.
If you want my opinion, and again, this is opinion. It is not fact.
Yeah.
Okay. My opinion of things. What it looked like is New Moon Rising Wrestling was gaining some ground. The crowd for the March show was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, for an independent with very limited resources as far as advertising, as far as marketing, pretty good crowd for that March show.
They pay us a lot.
April show, the attendance was down a little bit. May show, it was about the same as April.
Right, okay.
But cross-promoting during all of that was the Monster Factory and all that nonsense. And I think it started with an attack on Justin America from people within the Monster Factory, and kind of pushed him out to the point where I'm not sure, but it seems that he is not interested in working with the Monster Factory anymore, much like Robert.
Yeah, would you be?
Certainly not. From what I've gotten from Justin, we still do speak. And Justin, I just want to say this for the record, Justin, Jake, Robert, have always been top-notch guys with me, with the show, with everything.
Absolutely.
Very supportive. And likewise, Dan has been as well. So I don't want to just say, oh, Dan, ooh, he's a bad person. I don't know.
Right.
I don't have the dealings. But from what I've heard, it started with them pushing Justin kind of out of things. And it continued to the point where I think they were really going for a power play, trying to get the company. And again, that's opinion.
All right. Well, you know how we solve it. You know how we, you know, settle this all.
Get them all on.
Get them all on and talk it out. You know,
or as Mark would say, hug it out.
Hug it out.
You got to hug it out.
Yeah. You know, I hate to see, especially on my side of things. I mean, you two could help each other. I mean, you're not big companies, and I don't mean that in an insulting way whatsoever.
No,
you know,
but
use
yeah.
each other. This is a shame. This sucks.
It really does. It's unfortunate for the fans, mostly because the fans are kind of out in the dark.
I wouldn't have canceled that show. I mean, I would have found a way to get the show going after you advertised it for over a month.
If you don't know
but
what's
I wasn't
going on,
part of the situation.
Yeah, but if you don't know what's going on, if you don't have like Robert to talk to or Justin to talk to, if you're just a fan, you have no idea what was going on.
Right.
You're like, oh, okay, so no June show.
I asked you. I mean, I found out real early on in the morning, okay, what's going on? I don't know.
So there it is.
There it is.
Translation. There
but Dan, it's time for our favorite part of the week, and you know what it is.
The end?
No.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horrorcast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're gonna miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we gonna give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna give you to the count of ten to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property.
Dan, I'll tell
you before I pump your guts full of lead.
The joke that Mark and I are still. We find so funny.
Wait, hold on. We have to hear this part. Dream Warriors Hardcast. Dream Warriors. At Dream
Warriors. No, 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 no. No, no, what it is, what it is.
Oh, that's why I don't know his Twitter name. We keep talking over it.
No, but what it is, that dream, it's Dream Warriors.
Yeah,
like, you have a dream that worries you.
Oh, yeah, Dream like, Warriors.
There's a fire in my dream. Should I be concerned about this? We're going to have a parody episode of the Dream Warriors coming up.
Dean, do something. There's a fire.
I'm falling a lot in my dreams lately.
What?
I'm falling a lot in my dreams lately. Should
I tell you, like, last night, almost everybody I knew got axed in the head by somebody. Literally, I'd be talking to somebody, axed through the head. And it was not me. It was somebody else.
Now, Dan,
I'm worried about that.
Now, Dan, moving right along, because I think
moving
it's
moving right time. Along.
Tank Toland is our next guest. Now, Tank Toland, like I said at the beginning of the show, he is known for being a dick.
I
mean that in the best way possible. He was part of the tag teams, the Dicks, in WWE, in I believe it was 2004, that time period right around there. He was a multi-time Ohio Valley Wrestling tag team champion as well. He was also in Ring of Honor. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Tank Toland. Now, Tank, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. This is Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing good. Now, I meant no harm by saying that you were known as a dick in this business.
My name's James Dick.
I get that all the time. So it's all good, man. I got no problem with that.
I want to start this off. I'm sorry, Dean. I want to bring it. Was that something that you were given, or is that something that you guys came up with for the show, for the company?
Man, oof. I would have picked just about any other name other than the Dicks. it was Vince McMahon's idea. Basically, when it comes down to it, Vince goes, and I think he kind of goes in cycles of getting ideas for characters and things like that. And it was at a time that they had the Boogeyman, they had Matt Morgan as a stutterer, they had Paul Burchill as a pirate. So if you think about it, you know, the Dix is just like one of those other like gimmicky characters that he said, "Oh, I got a great idea," you know, and. I mean, come on! They put a mole on Jillian Hall's face. When you know, it's like I'll never forget because Jillian, me and Jillian were together for 7 years, and she was so excited when she got the call from Vince, and she had a personal meeting with Vince, and she's like, "Oh, I'm going to meet with Vince," and I was like, "Okay," I was like, "That's great." So she's all excited, and she went out to meet with him. Comes back and she's so upset. She's like, "Yeah, I met with Vince. He wants to make me the prettiest ugly diva." She's like, "They want to put a big mole on my face and all this other stuff." I'm like, "Oh man," she was very upset about it. But you know what? She made the best of it, and she ended up surviving the mole after the Boogeyman ate it off, and she went to have a great career on after that. So I wish I could have had half that success, but.
Well, I mean, the gimmick itself, I mean, was you know, it was entertaining. I remember that more than the Wrestling Pirate until you reminded me about it.
Yeah, well, Paul, I'll tell you what. Paul Burchill is a very talented worker. He's a very talented wrestler. And if he was able to do half the stuff that he was able to do, and not limited by, you know, the character and by, you know, certain other, you know, aspects of the business, he could have been one of the top guys, I have no doubt in my mind.
Well, swinging from the rope on the top of the fist wasn't good.
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't good. It looked like fun. But, you know, I just think that, you know, sometimes when you're in a certain position, you're given, you know, what you're able to do and what you're not. And sometimes you're not able to live up to your potential. And you know, someone like Paul and a few other workers that, you know, got saddled with gimmicks that weren't, you know, the best. You know, they didn't get to show exactly what they're capable of. You know, and I think that was one of the things that I fell victim to between the character and you know, I'll be quite honest, and being saddled with the partner that I had. I wasn't exactly thrilled with my partner, so, But that's nothing that I haven't told my partner, and he knows that, so, or my former partner, let's just say. So.
Right. Well, all right, we're going to rewind a little bit. I had to get that out. Let's start from the beginning. You were from Jersey, are you not?
Yeah, I'm originally from Margate City, New Jersey, which is like 10 minutes away from Atlantic City.
Okay, so my question is, I'm a South Jersey guy, you're a South Jersey guy. How and where did you get started in the wrestling business in South Jersey?
Oh, well, basically, I got my teaching degree from Westchester University, and the whole time I had a group of friends that, you know, grew up like me enjoying watching wrestling, and we were like, hey, let's do wrestling after we're done college, you know, and, you know, just for, you know, for fun, as a hobby. And so basically I went online and looked at the different places that were like, you know, how to get into the business. I didn't really know anything about it, but I knew there was like places to train and stuff. So I looked into it, and it just so happened that, that the Monster Factory was right in Westville. And I, at the time, was teaching and living in the Cherry Hill area. So that was only about 20 minutes away for me. So it was,
hey, my hometown,
like, hey,
man.
Yeah, there you go. See, awesome. So Westville or Cherry Hill?
Cherry Hill.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So yes. All right. East Side boy, huh? Okay.
Little
rich brat. You little rich brat. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I just messed with you.
That's just great.
Hey, I'm from Margate. You know what? Margate. I come from white bread Margate. You know. So
yeah, white bread. White bread. Yeah, live in the basement. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you got to do, right? So, but anyway, so I was 20 minutes away from the Monster Factory, so I said, I'll go over there and I'll do a tryout. So I went there, you know, did the tryout, and of course, you know, they're happy to take my money, and no, but seriously, they were cool people, and they really had a good list of people that had trained there before. They're a respectable company, and at the time, they're like, you know, one of the best to go to learn the business. I got my start there, and I learned the basic psychology and the basic, you know, ins and outs of wrestling, and then I took it from there. I took it from there, and I was lucky to kind of move on and get certain opportunities, and then get a tryout with OVW, and you know, which at the time was the developmental system for the WWE. So.
Now, when you walk in to the Monster Factory, I've not told many people this. I drove up to it once and turned around and got the hell out of there. When you walk in, past giving your money out, when you're looking around, what's going through your mind?
You're talking Monster Factory first day?
Yeah, Monster Factory versus anything else, yeah.
Well, I mean, like... Well, first off, when you go in there, you're thinking, I hope, you know, this is, you know, you hear a lot of stories about, you know, wrestling companies, like, you know, wrestling schools, so-called wrestling schools that, you know, oh, you pay them this, and then next thing you know, they're just taking your money, and you don't really get anything out of it. So, I mean, I had that in my mind, but that's one of the reasons I chose the Monster Factory, because it was very reputable. A lot of people would train there, and I had, you know, I did a lot of research on the internet, and they got good feedback, so... Going there and trying out, I mean, you know, right off the bat, I talked to Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, and And you know, of course, he said, well, let's just see what you have. He goes, you got a good look to you. He said, let's see if you have what it takes to, you know, to cut the mustard. So I said, okay. So I did a tryout, and he said, okay, it looks like you got some natural athleticism and natural talent. Let's train you. I said okay. So I paid up, and I said, let's do this. And I was a little, I'll be honest, I was intimidated because there was people in there that had already been training and know what they were doing. And, I was obviously green, you know, green as a banana. So, you know, or an unripe banana rather. But, that was pretty much it, you know. So it was intimidating, but it was a good place to get my start, get my feet wet. So,
how many years did you have in the Monster Factory when you got a call for OVW?
I was at the Monster Factory for about 2 years when I think it was about 2 years, maybe a little over 2 years when I finally, got my shot. What had happened actually was, OVW was doing the first, tryout for the WWE's developmental territory, and they had an open tryout, and, they were only taking 50 people for a week long camp. And,
Wow.
Yeah, 50 people for a week-long camp, and it was $1,000 a head. So, obviously, you know, they're going to make some money off of it, but it was an opportunity to go and get seen by other people and get seen by, you know, WWE talent scouts. Like, Dr. Tom was one of the guys that was head of the developmental at the time. So, you know, he was there, and Jim Cornette and Danny Davis. And, you know, there's a lot of people there that could really give you some good feedback you could learn. So I looked at it as, I'll put my application in. I know there were thousands of people that put in their applications. I think they had something like 10,000 applications. And they chose 50 people out of those thousands of applications. I was lucky enough to be one of them. And so I went with 50 other hopefuls. And it was a week-long camp. It was very intensive. It was like basically eat, sleep, train, wrestling every day. And it was great because you're seeing things from different perspectives and you're learning different psychology and learning, you know, different views on things. And you're learning a lot. And it was very intimidating. I remember there was guys like Christopher Daniels was there and...
Oh wow!
Gosh, I mean, a lot of guys that ended up making it into the WWE were in my original the first camp that they ever had. Mike Mondo, who ended up being one of the Spirit Squad. Now he's still wrestling on the Indies. There's a lot of guys. The Beast, who was Shad Gaspard, who was for Prime Time.
Yeah,
Crime Time. Jillian Hall was in my class, and that's actually how we ended up getting together. I remember she gave me a headlock takeover and chipped my tooth, and I think it was love from there on in. There was a lot of people in that class actually. That ended up making it up to the WWE. So it was a strong class. Out of the 50 people that they trained in that camp, they actually ended up taking 10 people to sign to OVW to be able to come out and train at OVW in their contract class, which was great. They gave them the opportunity to train in their contract class, which was with the other developmental contract wrestlers, and with the hopes of eventually getting a WWE a developmental contract. And so for lucky people like myself and Mike Mondo and Jillian and Shad, you know, the Beast, we're all able to get contracts and move on to other things. So it was a really great opportunity and a great experience.
Now, before OVW, what was the biggest crowd you'd wrestled in front of, if at all?
Oh man, I'd probably say maybe 300, maybe. I'd say 300. Two, 300. I used to do some PCW shows, Phoenix Championship Wrestling, with Donnie His name was Donnie B. He's actually you guys know Nova, Mike Bucci?
Oh yeah.
Well, actually Simon Dean in the WWE. That's his twin brother. They're twin brothers, and Donnie actually used to run his brother used to run a promotion out of the Toms River area called PCW, Phoenix Championship Wrestling. And it was a good time. Actually, that was my very first show that I got to do outside of a Monster Factory show, and it was so funny because I had caught wind that the Backseat Boys weren't going to be showing for the show because they're going to be doing the CZW show instead. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go there and just kind of hang out with my gear and just say, hey, if you happen to need me, I'll be here. And he's like, okay, well, you know, that was the first time I met Donnie. And he's like, yeah, if for any reason, the next thing I know, I hear him cursing someone out on the cell phone. Of course, I knew what it was. And then I made sure to stand right by him. He's like, hey, you said you got your gear. Are you heel or face? I'm like, I'm whatever you need me to be. He's like, all right, great. You're gonna be in a tag team match. You're gonna be a face. And it was funny because I was working these guys, these twins called the Power Twins or something like that. I can't even remember. But they're like these, you know, like little muscle bound, like they look like strong guy competition guys. They weren't like all lean and stuff. They just looked like massive dudes. But anyway, it was me. It was them versus me and Gilbert. And, it was pretty funny because I was like, I mean, like, you know, Gilbert had just been done doing his WCW stint or WWF stint, you know, being Gilbert, which was pretty funny. I was like, oh, cool. I'm working with Gilbert for my first match outside of Monster Factory. This is great. So it was a god awful match. I was still green as goose shit. So it was, it was a god-awful match, but it's one that will always stick in my mind because it was Gilbert, and it was one of my first matches outside of the Monster Factory. So,
all right, spend time in OVW, you get the call. We already talked about the call. Were you excited? Were you kind of or were you just like, all right, I'm finally getting, I'm going up. This is it.
Oh, you mean when I got the
WWE.
When I got my developmental contract?
No, when you went up to the WWE.
Basically, you know, that was something I'd been waiting for, a couple things that happened and, you know, that led up before that. I mean, I know that for sure when I got my developmental contract, I was like, I remember getting the call from Dr. Tom and I was all alone in my apartment. And I literally started, like, I said, yeah, absolutely. And, he's like, because he called me and said, hey, he's like, hey, I want to give you the welcome you to WWE. Are you interested in working for us? You know, I said, of course. So he's like, all right, there you go. I hung up the phone. I started screaming, jumping up and down like a little girl dancing. And it was pretty, if anyone wanted to see me, it would have been pretty embarrassing. But, yeah, I was acting like a 12-year-old girl, so excited. It was bittersweet because Jillian that same day basically was told that she wasn't getting a contract yet. And so it's like, I couldn't, and we were together at the time. Oh. So I couldn't be excited unless she also was getting her contract. So it was kind of like one of those things. I was happy to get the contract, but it was bittersweet. And then, a couple months later after that, though, like maybe 3 months after that, she ended up getting her contract and then we were all happy. And, then you know the story from there. But as far as getting the actual call from the WWE, I was very excited that we were finally going to get up on the road and do that. I was actually getting ready to go up before that, but I had torn my bicep. They're going to debut me long before I actually ended up getting to debut. Right before they were pulling me up to start, I tore my first bicep, and that was not fun. And it was disheartening. But you know, at the same time, things happen.
You tore your first bicep.
Yeah, I've torn my bicep twice. So once in OVW and then once in Ring of Honor. Not fun. Both each arm too. Not the same one. So,
Sign me up.
Hopefully that's the last time I that'll ever happen. But yeah, I mean, like, it was very exciting, and I remember, like, you know, you finally get your travel, you get your travel info, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm taking this flight, and I'm going here, and I was like, all right, I'm going to be debuting, and where am I going to be debuting? I'm like, oh, all right, cool, San Antonio. All right, so we went out there, and we originally, Chad and I, which, you know, I, like, still was not happy, you know, that I was, you know, carrying Chad, but, you know, it is what it is. But you know, we went down there and we were actually supposed to start as Simon Dean's basically like his henchmen. You know, we were going to be his protectors, which ended up later on being the Geminis. The Geminis who they had a short stint in there as well. And but Vince said, hey, you know, let's see how they do on their own, actually. So they actually didn't even have a name for us yet. They just sent us out and from the crowd running in at the end of matches, tag matches, and taking out who was ever in there, like the Mexicals or whoever else had been in there. We cost LOD the tag team titles.
Thank you for that, the Mexicals. I appreciate that.
I mean, like, so we were doing runouts, and the commentators would be like, "Ah, who are these guys? Who are these guys?" And actually, one time, the week before we got brought out as the Dicks, they called us the Tolans. So I was like, "Okay, cool, they're gonna call us the Tolans." I was like, "They're gonna call us the Tolans, cool." But then that kind of like that didn't happen because Vince is like, "Hey, I see you guys kind of look like Chippendales. I like the way you look." He's like, "Come back next week in Chippendale outfits." I was like, "All right, so." So we came, you know, we had our seamstress make up Chippendale outfits, and we came back next week, just showing the outfits. She's like, "I love it. That's what I want to do." So,
it's not a bad Vince,
like,
by the way.
But come on, it's not hard to do Vince. But anyway, so basically, what happens is Stephanie McMahon. It's like, hey, you know, Vince really likes a Chippendale idea. She's like, think of a name that it was kind of like wrestling-y but sexy, and you know, come back next week and tell us, you know, what you have. And I was like, all right, you know, so I was trying to rack my brain. I was racking my brain and asking people their opinions, and Nova, Simon Dean, he's like, hey, how about you guys call yourself the Bod Squad? And I was like, that's not bad. And I was like, oh, I got an idea. I was like, I think I know what I want us to be called. So next week I go in, I tell Stephanie, I was like, Stephanie, I got the name. I was like, maybe if we were called the Weapons of Mass Seduction. She's like, I love it. I'm going to tell Vince. And then out of the corner of my ear.
Now lay down on the bed.
Yeah. Well, out of the corner of my ear, I hear, why don't we call him the Swinging Richards? And I look over, and there he is, Michael Hayes, is saying, I think that's a great idea. He's like, I think that's a great idea. I'm going to go tell Vince. Ha, ha, ha. So he goes, I look at Stephanie, and Stephanie's like, don't worry, I'll handle this. So apparently he goes back to Vince, and next thing I know, 15 minutes before we're going out to have our first matches, the Chippendales, Stephanie comes up to us and she goes, okay, well, here's the deal. He said Swinging Richards, but it wasn't Swinging Richards because that was too close to Stevie Richards. Then it went to the Swinging Dicks. It's not the Swinging Dicks. She's like, but it is the Dicks. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, no. So, yeah, so I didn't say it out loud because, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I was just happy to be there for the opportunity and all that, you know, all that political blah, blah, blah. But I was like, oh no. And then from also what I heard at the same time, Jim Ross had heard that whole thing happen, and one of the other wrestlers back there told me, he's like, yeah, he said Jim Ross heard it. He goes, good luck with that one, guys. He's like, you guys, like, he knew that we were doomed from the start with that kind of gimmick. So especially being on SmackDown. So, because you know, it's not cable. It's network television. You can barely get away with saying the word "dick" on TV. So, she's like, yeah, and you're gonna be James Dick. I was like, okay, well, that's what I'm gonna be. And she was always like looking at me with that "I'm so sorry" look. But you know, it is what it is. And so that's how the Dick became the Dick.
Now, looking back at your WWE experience, do you look back at it like? if you had a better gimmick, maybe you would have went further? Or do you look back at it as, hey, I got there? How do you look back on it?
Well, I mean, first off, when I look back at it, I'm just happy that I got an opportunity to get to that level, to walk out on that stage in front of, like, you know, all those people and all the people watching at home. I mean, that's an amazing feeling and an amazing accomplishment that so many people wish they'd have that chance and they never get. Even if they're more than talented enough to do it. I mean, you know, I've seen so many guys out there on the indies that that never got their shot, or they haven't gotten their shot yet. And I think, wow, I'm really just lucky to whether I was a dick or whatever my character's name was, I was just happy to have that shot. Could I have had a better gimmick and maybe made something more of it? Yeah. But I mean, you know, I was at a point in my life where I wish I could have been a little bit smarter about things, about playing the political game the way it should have been played. And, you know, I was a little bitter about the partner I was saddled with, you know, and obviously you can still tell this day I wasn't happy with my partner. I mean, I wish him all the best personally, but I mean, we just did not work out, you know, work out as a tag team. Definitely not. And everybody knew it. And the bottom line is, I should have worked better with what I was given, and from the gimmick to the partner. But that was my fault. I should have been more more mature about it, more of a captain. But, you know, I ended up, not taking it as well as I should have. So that's my fault. But still very appreciative of the opportunity I had. And, like I said, a lot of guys don't get that shot. So I consider myself really blessed. And I got to meet a lot of great people along the way. And I got to, one of them being Jillian, who's an absolutely amazing person and an amazing wrestler. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm just really happy for the opportunity I have. So, but
now,
you got a few. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, finish what you're gonna say first.
No, I was just gonna say, right now, since I've been up there and then down, and on my way down, I got to wrestle with Ring of Honor. I met some phenomenal talent, but I was like, oh my god, how are you not up there right now? And like guys, like at the time, like when I first started working at Ring of Honor, Colt Cabana hadn't been signed yet. And I was like, this guy should be up there. I mean, unfortunately, he kind of was saddled with was one of the bad gimmicks too, you know, and that's a shame for him. But like Matt Sydal, who ended up becoming Evan Bourne, you know, that's another one that I was like, wow. I was like, you got to get up there, man. I was like, you got to just keep pushing. And then two of my favorite guys to watch that are finally under contract and finally will hopefully be going up soon. You have. I guess he's wrestling as Cesar. It was basically the Kings of Wrestling. Chris Hero, who's now wrestling in the developmental territory as Cassius Ohno. And then, why can't I? His name is, I'm blanking out on his name right now. But Claudio Castagnoli, who's wrestling as, I can't remember who he's wrestling as right now. Down in Florida. But, I mean, those are two guys that I think are going to make a huge name for themselves if they're able to wrestle the way they wrestle on the indies and be able to live up to their potential, because those guys have got size, they've got the talent, they've got the charisma. They're the total package in my mind. So hopefully those are two guys that will get the shot. And you're hearing it from me. Those guys should be top guys. So remember that. If they were top guys, I was calling that a long time ago. So
now,
anyway,
when you went to Ring of Honor, sorry for the stuttering, I had problems.
So do I. Okay.
When you went to Ring of Honor, was it almost, and again, not to insult WWE or anything they did, was it kind of like a breather, like breathing easier, doing more of what you wanted to do, or, you know, what was that?
In every way, yes, very much so. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, very appreciative for the opportunity with the WWE. But when you're up there, they're telling you every little thing that you have to do. I was lucky, however, to they liked the way I wrote my promos, in OVW, all the stuff that I did when we were the Tolans and the Blonde Bombers and all that other stuff, and because I wrote all of my own stuff for the backstage promos, unless at the time Jim Cornette had a certain thing he wanted me to say, but when Paul Heyman was there, he let me write all my own promos, and they saw that, and they saw my ability to write good stuff, so they let me actually write the promos for the Dicks when we had backstage stuff, and that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Unfortunately, it usually got cut because it was really funny stuff, but it went to the editing trucks, and they're like, "Oh, this isn't going to be able to make TV because it's too risque." So, I'd be saying
you gave us a gimmick called Dicks.
I even had a discussion with Stephanie. I said, look, I'm really concerned about our characters and how you guys would like us to be, because we're supposed to be portrayed one way, but because of the way the TV is and, you know, the standards and the censorship, I said we can't live up to the potential of what, how funny we could be, or how sexy we could be, or whatever you want us to be. We can't live up to that because it's on SmackDown versus Raw. Raw, if it was after the 10 o'clock hour, we could have done so much more with the characters, and it actually could have maybe have gotten over and survived. Because there's been plenty of gimmicks that, you know, like that have, you know, haven't been the best, but they got the right shot and the right time, and they survived. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, it was a breath of fresh air because, and just like in OVW, I was able to be a little bit more of myself and my own character and bring myself into it. When I was in the Ring of Honor, I mean, it was like, hey, you be what you want to be, and we'll go from there. So that's when I became the all-natural superior athlete, Tank Toland. And I was basically like, you know, the trainer that was like going to put everyone in the best of shape, and I was also going to go out there and whoop a little ass myself. So it was definitely a lot of fun, and that's where I met a lot of great talent, and also became even a better wrestler, because now I'm wrestling more different people and learning different things and being more, feeling more creative with myself again. So yeah, it was a breath of fresh air, to say the least.
Now, as far as your future, are you looking to get back with WWE or TNA, or are you happy being in a company like New Moon, back down on the indies, doing matches like that?
Well, I mean, you know, I absolutely love wrestling. I don't have aspirations to go back to WWE per se, or TNA or anything like that, but I will. I'm not gonna lie. Don't get me wrong. If they knocked on my door and said, "Hey, we want to throw all this money at you, and we want to make you, you know, one of the guys," you know, it would be hard to say no, because again, that's the dream. That's the dream. But I'm a phys ed teacher. That's what I went to school for. There's a lot of security in that you don't get in wrestling. And I love teaching. I love the students. I love, you know, helping kids out. So that's another thing that was always a dream of mine, to do that. So it's kind of like I'm moving on from wrestling, but I'm still wrestling. You know, I'm still enjoying the independent scene and wrestling as much as I can on the independent scene. It's a little harder in the summer because I'm a full-time lifeguard on the beach, but so it's hard to make those shows. But in the fall and winter and spring, I'm going to be doing a lot more wrestling again.
Okay. Just one thing that I picked from what you were just saying. You said there's not a lot of security in the wrestling business, and that's very similar to what John Finnegan said, because he was offered a full-time contract with WWE as well, right after the ECW thing, and he turned it down basically for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, wrestling... You know, you've heard it a million times. You're nothing more than a product,
yeah,
a piece of meat. You're a number, and if they feel like they can't get something out of you, it's if they throw your gimmick against the wall and it doesn't stick right away, you're done. And I'm not saying there's not second chances in wrestling, or third chances, or fifth chances. I mean, because, you know, it's wrestling could be a revolving door. You could be in 1 minute and out the next, and then back in. But that's the whole thing about it. You gotta, like, you have to understand that, you know, there's, it's a tough world. It's a tough life. And, I mean, there's a reason there's the movie The Wrestler, you know, and there's a reason that people have risen to the top and have fallen and they have trouble moving on after wrestling. And so for me, I decided, hey, I think this is probably best, even though I had that love and that passion for wrestling, to also be smart about, you know, what I have to do in life. I'm not saying if anything happened and I got the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't. Because, you know, I probably would. It's a fantastic thing, and it's a love I have. But right now it's just, you know, I love teaching, and it's job security, and I get to entertain the students, who a lot of the students, you know, are like, you know, they like that I was a wrestler, and they look up to me, so I can really help them out and kind of like mold them and be a good role model for them. So, yeah, so. It's not such a bad thing taking a step back to do something else that has a little bit more security.
Now, do your students know about your history as being a wrestler?
Yeah, they do. It's funny because I'm in the high school, and some of them remember me actually, and if not, they hear about me, and then of course they all Google me and they see what I've done, and then I kind of get the street cred. You know, from them, because I'm up in Atlantic City, and they come in and they're like, they hear from the brothers or sisters, and then when they come up to be freshmen, they're like, oh yeah, I heard about you, and then they ask me a lot of wrestling questions, and then a lot of the guys are starting to get into working out and stuff. Always have a lot of workout questions for me, so it's pretty cool because I talk to them about wrestling. I talk to them about working out and taking care of themselves, and I kind of try to put a positive spin on it that you know, I was in their spot at one time. I wasn't always the best student, but I pulled myself together. I made sure to get through college, and then from there, I decided, you know, I decided to do it as a hobby, and that, you know, it was a dream of mine, and I worked hard for it. And it was the old, you know, if you work hard enough and you really push yourself, you can make your dreams come true. That, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, which, you know, I know it's kind of cliche, but it's, you know, I was lucky enough to have that happen. I always wanted to be a wrestler since the time I was a little kid. My dad would take me to Spectrum Wrestling in Philly. And you know, the old school stuff. And then I got to actually go to WrestleMania 5 at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. Yeah, and the Hulk Hogan had just beaten Macho Man Randy Savage, and I was so pumped up, and I was sitting right where they come out, and on his way back, he had just gotten done, and I patted Hulk Hogan on the shoulder, and I looked at my hand, and it was full of Hulk Hogan sweat, and I was so excited, and I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, and I wiped on my brother's face. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, that's Hulk Hogan sweat. He goes, I don't care, it's sweat. But I was like one of the, like, little kids. I was like, I'm never washing my hand again. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, that was, you know, it was like, I was always excited. And, you know, that was always a dream of mine. So I tell the students, I was like, hey, you know, if you work hard enough, you push yourself hard enough, you believe in yourself, you never give up, you know, you can get to where you want to go. And I always tell them, you know, it's the old saying, you know, shoot for the stars. And if you don't make it to the stars, hey, maybe you'll hit the moon, and that's not so bad either. So you'll go further than this. You know, as long as you're trying your hardest, you know, you got a chance to be successful. So
I just wanted to bring one follow-up. You know, you hear stuff on the internet. How are you still friends with Jillian, and how is she doing?
Jillian, I am very close with Jillian. I love that girl very much, very much. We're very close. She's doing well. You know, she's been doing the independence. She's got some things in the works that hopefully will work out for her really well. I'm keeping my fingers crossed and saying prayers for her. I talk to her on a daily basis. Actually, she was just texting me while we were on this interview because I was letting her know that I had an interview and I'd probably be putting her over like I usually do. That's one thing I've always done with her ever since we were together. If I ever had an interview, I always made sure to tell the world what an incredible person she is, and what a great worker she is. I mean, because I think she's one of the people that in the WWE had so much talent. And I think, the Divas division, trust me, I've seen the Divas. Those girls, for the most part, don't know how to work their way out of a paper bag. It's not that I'm not trying to insult them or anything. It's just they never had the training, and they didn't. They're people that were taken because they're so beautiful, and I get that. That's fine, whatever. Just like how they take some of these pro athletes and try and make them wrestlers, and they're the drizzling shits. You know, hey, it is what it is. Some of them turn out to be decent, some of them not. But I mean, the bottom line is Jillian is one of those people that she was beautiful, but she can wrestle her ass off. That girl was just, I mean, her psychology was on point. I mean, when you got the boys in the back saying, hey, this girl knows what she's talking about, and guys like Pitt Finley saying, hey, yeah, you train the girls, and you help out with the girls. I mean, that's saying a lot. When you got guys like Bradshaw saying, hey, this girl knows what she's talking about, because a lot of the boys will talk crap on the Divas. They'll say, you know, they're worthless, blah 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 blah. All the boys in the back had respect for Jillian, and that was the thing. She was someone that could take a girl that was greener than goose shit and make them look great. She could carry people, and she was. I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't say she's just a good worker for the girls. She's a good worker. Period. She's a fantastic worker. So she's doing her thing now, and she's out on the independents. She's hanging in there. She's doing okay. She's a very resilient girl, and I think she's going to be successful. She's going to find a lot of success again. I wish she was still up in the WWE myself, because it would give me another reason to watch, other than my few friends I still have up there on the show. She's definitely someone that always brought a lot of good wrestling, as well as a lot of charisma. You know, she's someone, I mean, she'd go out there and she'd sing. She was over with the crowd, because, you know, she started opening her mouth and singing, and
people she's over with me.
Yeah, she's fantastic, but she's one of the best people I know, and, you know, in wrestling and out of wrestling. And, you know, like I said, I spent 7 years in a relationship with her. We were engaged for a while, and, I wish her nothing but the best, and I'm always going to be in her life, and she'll always be in mine. And in one aspect or another. So,
give her our best from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
I definitely will. Actually, she's like, tell me what the link is so I can check it out. So she definitely wants to. She definitely wants to check you guys out. She's a wonderful person. Off the stage, she's like, you know, everybody asks me, does she really sing like that? And, you know, especially the students are always asking that. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I was like, oh, man. I told him that she'd make my ears bleed on a daily basis. So, yeah, so she's a great person. So I'm definitely going to, I'll have to give her the link. And so she can listen in. Now, this is a show that she can listen to even after it's been broadcast.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. There's archives, okay, there's everything. So,
right.
I'll text that to you after this. But, Tank, we went well past our time. But,
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No.
Okay, Dan, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but it was great. Definitely, we're keeping in touch, Tank, because we didn't even get into Ring of Honor, really.
Hey, we could talk about Ring of Honor. We could talk about New Moon Rising. When I called in, I just heard about what was going on with Jake Bishop and Robert Pigeon. I heard it as I was calling in. I was like, wait, what is going on? Because I wrestled the show back in May, and I didn't know that anything had been going on, because I hadn't talked to Robert in a while, and actually I had texted him while I heard before you guys brought me on. I said what's going on with this stuff? I was like, what am I hearing? I was like, is this stuff a work? He's like, no, Jake's really pulling out and starting his own deal. And I was like, oh wow. So I guess I'm gonna have to catch up with those guys and see what's going on.
Yeah, so. keep the Monster Originals together. That's what I say.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
but
you know, I don't like to see those guys fall apart. So yeah,
it was really the start, because your match, I'm glad you brought it up at New Moon. The last match you had there was against QT Marshall, who's with Ring of Honor now, and it was really an amazing match.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, it's so funny because I guess first time I'd ever worked with QT. He's a really nice guy, hell of a guy. And, you know, that was like my basic average match that I go out there and wrestle if I'm not in WWE and being told what to do. You know, I can have good matches. And that's the thing I'm kind of most upset about, is that, like, you know, people just hear the name, the Dicks, and they think, oh, that was a crappy tag team. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, maybe we were a crappy tag team in the WWE, whatever. But what have you been on TV? That's for starters, you know. But at the same point, it's like, but you know what? That's not all I was to it. So whenever I go out and do a independent match, like when I was in Ring of Honor or any of the other promotions I've done since WWE, and people come up to me and say, hey, that was a great match, I didn't know you could wrestle like that, I'm like, well, you know, I feel a little bit vindicated that people get to see the way I could actually work versus what they saw in WWE. So thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. But like I said, we're going to get you back on because I think we're just glazing the surface. But Tank, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime you guys want to have me on, you guys have my number, contact me, we'll set something up, and trust me, I can tell you a million and one stories.
We're going to use that to an advantage.
All right, guys, sounds good.
Okay, you have a good night, Tank.
You too, take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome.
Well, we win a, wow.
Slightly over?
Slightly over, but I do not begrudge one moment of that.
That was an excellent interview, and I like when guys come on here. There's a lot of guys we talk to that could go for hours, and it just gives us more opportunities to do more episodes later and say, come back on, tell us your other stories.
And it's really glazing the surface, glazing the surface.
Glazing the surface. Play a commercial.
Oh, your commercial, right?
Yes, just so I can chuckle and take a drink of something.
Okay, so we'll be right back with Omega Squad after this commercial.
Yeah! Run outside right now and go, listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio! And I want you to scream the whole URL out loud and run back inside for the cops. If you're sitting at work right now, you're working the night shift, listen to this show, punch somebody in the head and tell them to listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
If you have it on your iPod and you're on the bus, just smack the guy next to you.
Especially if he's a fat son of a gun trying to get on his scooter, just tell him, you better listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, or I'm going to pop the tires in your scooter. Tell them that.
That's your favorite commercial now.
No, it's more of, well, first of all, it's about me.
Yeah.
But it's more your reaction to the scooter line that cracks me back up. Every time I just see this guy going,
well, speaking of men on and scooters, you know what? Before we get to Mega Squad, he's already been on hold for a half hour already. But
I'm on longer.
I have someone else, and I'm not sure who it is, so I'm going to bring him on real quick. Caller.
Hey, what's up, guys?
American Roughneck.
Ah! Yes, it is. So when are you going to bring out your scooter? I want to go ride.
No,
I think it'd be an hour. You'd be like 15 miles ahead, and I'd still be going,
How are you doing, Ralph?
I'm hanging in there. I was listening to the tank interview, and I guess Robert put out some information. I missed that part tonight. I was a little busy at work.
We the people.
We the people.
No, but you can always find
out. Are we the hotbed of information that I think we are?
We are.
I believe you are.
Sweet.
Well, I think Tank put out more information than Robert actually put out. Tank was talking about a text, and, well, the hell with it.
Let's just, Dean, for those who are, who can't hear us anymore, but break it down, man.
Roughneck knows. We just talked this past Friday. Roughneck and I were hanging out at a
I don't want to go into too much information, so.
At a local watering hole.
Local watering hole, and saw you at DWF. It was an interesting evening.
So you guys went to Wendy's then?
He was going to work a match, but nobody else there wanted to work because it was too hot.
It was a little warm, and
I would have worked.
You know what? We're going to have to set that up.
Oh, jeez, you're dead.
You know what? I'm very close. Ref Rich, who will be a guest next week, does want to get me in the ring and train me.
I have nothing but respect for Ref Rich. He does call it right down the middle.
Unfortunately, I think he's going to teach me how not to call it down the middle.
Whoa,
what am I talking about? Behind the curtain, I'm sorry. But, American Roughneck, what the hell was I going to say? It's always a pleasure, American Roughneck. I got to move on. We're already like a half hour late, but is there anything else you wanted to get across?
No, that was about it. You're now operating on Roughneck standard time. I'm never on time, so we're doing good.
I was waiting for the call because we talked, and it never came, so I was...
Yeah, I got stuck at work, and things happen, and I do apologize. I was going to call.
We the people.
Every once in a while, you get hit with a little dose of life, and it messes your plans up, you know?
We
put on a great show. That was a great interview with Tank. I have nothing but respect for that guy. I'm so honored that the 30 seconds that I was in the ring with that quality of talent is just, it's one of my highlights.
Oh, wow.
He's really an amazing person. Just a great guy.
We're hanging out all around.
We're going to talk to.
You guys have a nice night. Well, I was just going
to
say we were going to go to Target and buy some knickknacks.
We're going to buy some matching knickknacks to put up in our living room.
I'm not sure. But American Roughneck, thanks for calling in. It's always a pleasure. And I'll be at DWF this Friday, so feel free. We'll hang out again.
I might stop by if my travels take me that way.
What time is that on Friday?
It's like a TV taping thing deal they got going on. It's not an actual show.
Oh, damn.
Right. And it's like the bookers meet.
Okay, well, then I won't be there because I'll be down Friday night, but yeah, never mind.
Well, no, I mean, show up. You'll meet Ref Rich, who will be a guest next week. So anyway,
let's play it right now.
Anyway, American Roughneck, thank you for hanging out for a little bit and hanging out for that great interview.
Oh, no, it was an excellent interview. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys, especially when I don't have to leave Robert yapping in the back.
Okay, man, I'll talk to you soon.
I see it.
Okay, so that was American Roughneck, We the People.
So hang up on Omega, and we'll just rent it tonight.
Now I need Omega. Here is his theme music, and he has been waiting 36 minutes now.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
Everybody, it's Omega Squad. How are you doing tonight?
I am appalled by the lack of professionalism in this fly-by-night operation.
All right, well, hang up. That's it. We're done.
So, let me just say, Anderson Silva defeated Chael Sonnen. Have a good night, everyone. No, but UFC 148 was this weekend.
I got kicked in the face. Good night.
No, it wasn't actually a kick to the face this time. But UFC 148. Overall, the card, in your opinion, we'll talk about the main event, the co-main event. But overall, the card, your impression?
The preliminary card was pretty boring, honestly. If you saw any of the fights on FX, they all went to decisions, and then none of them were particularly exciting. But you did have some weirdness in the pay-per-view card overall, just with Dong Young Kim just getting going out with injury in like 47 seconds of the first round, and I guess he was holding his ribs like he had a broken rib, but apparently it was just a muscle spasm, so that was just kind of weird. And I know we'll talk about the Forrest Griffin Tito Ortiz fight and the shenanigans that happened after that fight. So
the run out, yes.
Yeah, I think it was overall, it was a decent card, but it was just unusual in a lot of ways.
Now, of course, Forrest Griffin won by unanimous decision, I do believe, over Tito Ortiz, the Hall of Famer. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Do we think he's a Hall of Famer? Of course, he was inducted this past week. Now, I'd say that's a controversial decision, number one. We'll get to Forrest Griffin running out after. But do you agree with the judges?
I actually did agree with the judges. I thought Forrest did take the fight. I thought Tito looked gassed. And you'd think training in Big Bear would have helped him, but when the folks I was sitting here watching the fights with, our impression was that Tito looked gassed, and he just didn't really wasn't as aggressive as Forrest was. Neither one of them really put on a show in terms of skill. But I think I agreed with the judges. I thought Forrest did enough to win. I know he wasn't happy with his performance, but I think Tito just didn't have the gas to go through all three rounds, and I don't really know why. Because he's traditionally been a cardio king.
So. Now, to me, I had the first and third round going to Tito. I had it 29-28. I thought he did enough with the takedowns. I thought he did enough, not necessarily striking, but I thought he did enough to get by. But right after the fight, Forrest Griffin runs from the cage. When he comes back, because Dana White's chasing him, he interviews Tito Ortiz, his final interview inside the octagon. What's your thoughts about all of that?
I don't know what is wrong with Forrest Griffin. It was Bush League. It was amateur hour. He was going into business for himself. There's no reason that, win or lose, you can't stand in the ring and get your hand raised or not raised and shake your opponent's hand and just let the process happen as it's supposed to happen. And it's particularly with a fight of this type where you have a legend of the sport going out in his final fight, you give him at least the respect of not trying to show him up beyond trying to win the fight. I just thought it was ridiculous for Forrest to do that. I don't know what emotional problems he has, or if it was calculated just to garner attention. Certainly, the grabbing the microphone from Joe Rogan was certainly just grabbing attention. But it was silly, and it was unprofessional.
Well, he did apologize adamantly in the post-fight presser, but do you think that's enough, or do you think he now has a black eye?
It's enough to apologize, and that's fine, but you can never get Tito's last fight back.
Yeah.
So, it was funny. Everybody was sympathetic with him when he ran out during the Anderson Silva fight. It's just stopped being funny. So he just needs to... It's probably a black eye for him, because he wasn't a convincing win. It wasn't and he had.
What is this, wrestling?
Great. What's that?
It sounds like a wrestling card was being put on, not an MMA fight.
Oh, completely.
There was a lot of weirdness.
Yeah, that's weird. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Now, it's actually good because we can move on to Silva Sonnen.
No, I'm glad I cut you off then.
Now, what happened there was the first round, obviously, Chael Sonnen, and I scored at 10-8, completely dominated Silva on the ground. Now, why did he go for that spinning back fist that ended the fight pretty much?
You know, I don't know. I mean, he admitted on Fuel TV he didn't know why he did it. I think it was, you know, I think he was getting desperate to try to make something happen, and he just thought he could pull it off. Now, why you could think he could pull it off and just ended up landing on his butt like that, I don't know. I think he panicked, honestly.
Why do you think he went back out there after dominating the first round, went back out there and figured he could strike with Silva?
I don't know. I don't know why he thought that. I mean, I would have been pushing for the double right off the bat and try to get him down again and do the same thing he did in the first round.
Exactly.
I think Anderson was aware of it. I mean, certainly. But he didn't really defend it in the first round, so I don't know what happened. I mean, I think maybe he was just trying to set it up a little better this time.
Who knows?
Who knows? But I mean, I don't. You know what this fight has proved, and what the last Sonnen Silva fight proved is you cannot make a mistake with Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, you will be crushed.
Well, he's the best pound for pound fighter. Period.
Absolutely. There is no question in my mind that he is the best pound for a pound fighter right now of all time. It's 7 years of dominance, and no one has even come close, other than Sonnen, and no one has really come close to touching him, and he's basically defeated Sonnen twice now.
You know what? You know what's funny? When he fought Yushin Okami, the way that they did the pre-shows and everything to that, when he fought Yushin Okami, I actually thought for, I don't know, like 5 minutes on the Friday before, I'm like, Okami's got him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
No.
Not at all. Not at all. Not on his best day. And, of course, I thought Belfort there for like 5 minutes on a Thursday. But anyway, the last thing I wanted to touch upon as far as UFC 148, MMA fans in general, don't quite get it, and this is one of my pet peeves right now. Anderson Silva, Chael Sonnen are selling a fight. Sonnen is probably the best in the business to sell a fight. But the fans thought there was really something going on. How do you feel about it? Do you think there was some legitimate heat there, or they were just selling this fight?
I think Sonnen was selling the fight. I think Anderson let it get to him a little bit, because... You know, he's kind of a diva. let's face it. I mean, he holds out for money. He gets mad when his fight gets moved to somewhere he doesn't want to be. I think Anderson was just through a little bit of a fit because Sonnen was that good and Sonnen was basically showing him up.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah, I could be wrong about that. Certainly Anderson is a nice guy in general. But I think
he invited Chael to a barbecue.
Yeah, right. He you know, after the fight, he was all class and fine. I think, you know, between fights, I think he gets a little bit of a diva complex. He's very popular in Brazil. He's on commercials and magazine covers. You know, I think it gets into his head a little bit, and he's got a little bit of an ego. So I think his ego was a bit bruised, partially because he had to fight Sonnen again. And partially because I think Sonnen was just running him ragged in the media.
That's true, too. Now, Dan, what I did want to bring up while Omega's still around is Austin Aries won the TNA world title.
Best decision they've made in months.
How do you feel about it, Omega?
Well, you got to think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, it's better than Sting having it. It's better,
hey!
better than Ken Anderson having the...
Hey!
Having it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they need new stars. I mean, and you know, it's hard to say with I don't TNA has just made so many weird decisions with their booking over the years.
Hold on a second.
Why guys like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Chris Daniels never got the recognition I really think they deserve several years ago, it is beyond me. They have such a roster of talent. They have such a roster of talent that just never utilized properly.
But why not Ken Anderson?
He's a good talker, but I don't think he's that good in the ring.
No, I agree. Well, they've had other people. Well, okay. What about Michael Modest? No, I'm kidding. No, I do, listen, and I jokingly said, hey, when you said Sting, I love Sting. He was always my favorite, and you know that. But I agree with you at this point. I think it was, and I saw it coming. It's like they can't keep it where they have to give it to Aries. They have to give it to him. And somebody like, and I hate to use her as an example again, but my girlfriend who watches it with me every week, getting behind Austin Aries, that's the reason why she watches wrestling right now. She just is Austin Aries and a few other guys. And the fact that, go ahead, Dean.
No, I was just going to say, I would like to make a great point here. Austin Aries, when he competed in the 2011 ECWA Super 8, he was pretty much at the end of his line.
Yeah.
He was going to go back to Minnesota. He was just going to compete. 2 months later, he gets the TNA contract, and now you see what, you know, maybe a little bit had to do with the Super 8. Who knows?
He's excellent on the – I know where you're going with that, Proper Don. he's excellent on the mic. He's excellent in the ring. I've yet, personally, to see a match where I've been I got to turn this off, ever with him in the ring so far. So it's, as Omega said, a step in the right direction. Wow. It was a step in the right direction. Just don't drop the ball now. I also like the segment they're doing with – I do like the gut check segment so far. I could care less about Abyss and Joseph Park.
Are you on assignment right now in a hurricane soon? One of you?
Who, me?
One of you. I don't know who.
Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, very well. I don't know. Anyway, so Omega, your thoughts, it's a step in the right direction. Dan, obviously you like it. I do as well. Really good thing. Now tomorrow, whoever...
quick question, hold on.
Go ahead.
What, Omega, what did you think of wrestling on TV this week so far, a.k.a. Raw?
I actually didn't see Raw, so that tells you something.
Yeah, don't bother. That's all I needed to hear.
I'm a fan of AJ Lee, unlike you, Dan.
Listen,
I'm actually with Dan on this one.
A big fan of AJ Lee.
You're with me on this one?
Yeah, I'm not really big on AJ.
Dude, okay.
You know what? Omega will agree with anybody but me. You know, that's the dynamic we have.
Because your opinions are made of what comes out of my butthole. No, I'm kidding. I know. The translation, they suck. The AJ, and you haven't seen it yet, Omega, but when she delivered her promo this week, it kind of sounded like she didn't remember what she was saying.
Not at all. Not at all. It was delivered fine. You know what? Just because you went on in the room yesterday and you were with common minded folks for that thing doesn't mean that everybody thinks that way. AJ.
I know that. It's just an opinion. That's my opinion. I respect your opinion. I think it's wrong. But
AJ is really going to be a diva to watch.
Yeah, maybe.
For years to come.
Maybe for years to come. Right now, that whole angle's stupid. Okay, I just said it.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. It's the only reason I watch Raw.
I mean, that's all they got. Omega, am I wrong?
No, I mean, I would watch Raw to watch Daniel Bryan and CM Punk have matches all the time, but I don't need AJ in that mix.
But they're not.
Well, neither.
That's the problem.
Neither.
At least not with that current character. I'm not huge of the crazy character that's been done to death.
Well, fair enough. I'll give the devil his due, and that's you, Omega.
You prick.
I am evil.
Now, while I still have Omega here, I do want to announce, unless something drastically changes, it has been set up, Dan the Beast Severin We will be interviewing DeMar, the three of us, actually. And actually Mark as well will be here.
Oh, so he's going to show up? That's cute.
Yeah, yeah. So Mark will be here. Dan, the Beast, Severin, UFC Hall of Famer, Omega very briefly.
Do you want to give us a time on that one?
Oh, it's 9:30.
Thank you.
Yeah, 9:30, 10:30. It was already it's scheduled. You should have seen it.
I was talking about for people who are listening to this who haven't seen it.
Oh, well, they'll probably listen to this after they listen to that.
No,
it's in the thing. But anyway, Omega, very briefly, what do you know about Dan the Beast?
Well, I mean, he's one of the pioneers of MMA. You know, he's got over 120 fights, over 100 wins. You know, he is a legend in MMA in terms of, you know, bringing that wrestling background into the cage and really using it to his advantage.
Yes, before I'll let you talk in a minute, but before Tito Ortiz, before Mark Coleman, there was Dan the Beast Severin. Dan, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and Dean took this the wrong way when I mentioned it, when did you go see him? Saturday?
Sunday,
I get a message. I'm talking, you know, I'm going to go see Dan Severin, and I said, and he took it the wrong way, what is he doing recently? I mean, what is he doing lately? I thought he dropped off this earth. I had not heard about him in years, and not in a bad way. I thought he was done. And apparently he still works. He does seminars. He does all this stuff. So And Dean took that as a little, well, it's Dan the Beast Severin. Did you not know? I'm looking forward to this now that I have the time for it.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it's an amazing opportunity. Very gracious man to give us the time. And UFC Hall of Famer, like I said, of course, two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I'm really looking forward to asking him about the match he had in Japan against Tarzan Goto.
Where is his reign compared with others towards the top? Or?
He's third all time.
Third all time, okay. Yeah.
As far as longest reign, third all time.
It was 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years, from 95 to 99. And then he won it again very briefly, right before TNA got their hands on it. But very excited about that as well. But Omega, unless you have anything else.
No, I'm good.
Okay, you're good. Oh. Where can people...
May I just say before he goes, he talks about the level of professionalism, and he sounds like 10 times better than both of us.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know what I think it is, and I'm sitting here going, listen, Tank, let me stutter.
Tank stuttered a few times, too.
Yes, but he's not running a show here.
Well, that's true. Anyway... Omega, where can people check you out on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am at Omega Squad. Very simple. One word.
Very simple indeed. So, Omega, thanks for stopping by. Sorry, but you got to hear pretty much all of Tank's interview. What did you think of Tank?
Oh, I thought he was very well-spoken, and I do remember him from his WWE days. And I was impressed with his interview. It was quite entertaining.
Well, there's a chance... Omega, if you're in the area on Saturday, he might be there as well at ECWA War Games. So,
hey, you never know.
You never know.
He's Omega's in North Carolina, so I don't. Well, but then again,
Kakalaki.
But then again, Aiden Chambers also resides in North Carolina as well. So you never know.
It's your eye with him. Just hit him up on Twitter at Aiden.
Oh yeah. Just love to say that. Yeah. There you go. I'm sure you'll be fine with that.
I'm Omega Squad. Give me a ride.
Me up. I'll pay gas fare.
Anyway, Omega, it's always a pleasure. Next week, there were fights tonight, so maybe we'll talk about them.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, you know, Chris Weidman with a big win over Mark Munoz, and ask for a
really?
Title against Anderson Silva.
Wow.
So
that's big news. And you heard it here first. Well, not first, but
yes, you did.
Well,
if
no.
This... If you had me on a half an hour ago, it would have been first.
Oh, man, it was so funny. It's just like, okay, we're going to ask a question to wrap it up. Oh, we're still talking.
Exactly. So, Omega, we'll talk tomorrow, actually. I'm trying to say next week, but we'll
Omega,
talk tomorrow.
How you doing?
But you have, yeah, you have a great rest of the night, Omega.
You too.
Okay.
I like when he comes on, man. He's awesome.
Omega's one of the great people out there. Dan, it's pretty darn late.
You know, the other show that I used to do, I'd want to get off the air. And in this show, I find that it's at the end of the day, and quite frankly, I'm like, I don't want to do anything else. But by the time the theme song's done, I can do this for hours.
You know what the funny thing is? You guys on that other show wouldn't have even started yet. So keep that in mind as well.
Thank you.
So anyway, some websites to talk about.
Are you trying to woo me?
ECWA, ProWrestling.com. For all the news about this Saturday's War Games event.
The Match Beyond.
My goodness, that we're going to be there live starting at 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30, listen in.
Or come down.
Or just come down and say hi.
Listen in on, there's a new app actually on iPads, iPhones, whatever. You can actually listen as we're live on air. So if you have an iPhone, just go ahead and listen.
What's the app?
I don't know it offhand.
Is just, it a talk radio app?
I think so. Oh. I think they developed it. So.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll look it up tomorrow and we'll mention it tomorrow because I want people to listen, but I also want people to show up to this show. We owe it to them putting on the show, and as cheap it is to fill that place on Saturday.
Apparently, first and second row is reserved. No more reservations being taken.
Yeah, Mike... lay the hammer. Are we one or two?
We should be one.
You better be.
But do you know who I am?
I'm Dan Law, you son of a biscuit maker.
Also, check out.
I'm sorry. And Raising the Bar, the DVD is available through the website.
And also, we'll be there as well at the show. You can also check out NMRWrestling.com for all your New Moon Rising Wrestling news. Keep by the end of the week.
There you go.
Big announcement.
Hell yeah.
Big announcement. And I'd also like to, again, throw out there, MackenziesMartialArts.com. You have a grandmaster in Hapkido right there in Voorhees, New Jersey. Check them out. Take their free month of classes. You never know. You'll get in shape. You'll feel better. You'll become a leader in life.
2 miles south of the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's right. It is. It is. Chris Wild. You can find him on Twitter at the Chris Wild. Give him some followers. He wants some people. He's not going to talk until he has followers. So please.
W-Y-L-D-E.
Aiden Chambers. You can find at Aiden Chambers. And Kay Koa. You can find at Kay Koa F-H.
Really, I would follow him because, like as he said, next week he's going on an overseas tour, and you're going to be missing some interesting stuff.
Robert Knight, you can find at Robert Knight _. You can find Tank doesn't he doesn't believe in social networks.
He's not on Twitter, but he is on Facebook. I've been talking to him since the end of the interview.
Yeah, he yeah.
I gave him the link, so we're good to go on that. So Jillian will hear us.
Awesome.
We love you, Jillian.
Yeah, so, and the other thing, what was I going to say? Oh, you can follow Dan at DanLaw83. You can follow Go Thompson at Go Thompson. You can follow myself at Folsom County. You can follow the show at HIAC Talk Radio.
Yeah.
You can follow my good friend Steve from the Dream Warriors.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
You can follow him anytime you need to.
Be bored?
Yeah.
Are you bored?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know his Twitter offhand because he has like a... He has
Dark
like a
Deadite 313.
There you go.
I listen to the camera...
But, my goodness, quite the episode. Tank Tolan, the first time we met Tank at the New Moon show in May, he was just, you knew it, kind of like you knew it with Empire. that he was just a great interview, and there's so much there, so many stories. He probably has so many road stories. We could probably have like a weekly thing like we have with Robert with him called Road Stories. Who knows?
I just wrote that.
Who knows? Now, coming up, of course, tomorrow, Dan Severn. We also have D-Line. They're coming back into the cell. We're going to talk to them this time in an appropriate interview and environment. How do you feel about D-Line, Dan?
That's always a fun interview. They pleaded a case, and I guess that's still done. I mean, there's nothing to talk about it as far as that goes. But
I know there is news on that front, but I cannot announce it quite yet.
Well, maybe we'll... Maybe
things things are probably because Joe likes to do it at the show. He's going to announce. I'll just put it this way: he's going to announce two teams for the K Cup. That's all.
I
have
news for you. Let me say there might be a whole crapload of second chances around here.
Also, the wrestling roundup comes back next week. It's going to be our benefactor Brady Hicks and Ref Rich from New Moon Rising Wrestling and BWF. The senior official in both places.
Gotcha.
You're also on the 25th. Bandito Jr. makes his return.
Who?
Bandito Jr. He has a show coming up at Jersey Shore Pro Wrestling, that I want to talk about because Ryan and I, we're going to go. We're going to have a good time.
Is that in Manahawkin?
Yes.
Ah, pick up my mom on the way, man.
Okay. And also,
I think she lives like 10 minutes away from it.
Also, coming back into the cell, this time on her own, the dominant Sienna Duvall.
Oh, yes. Mm.
So that is what's coming up. We have a lot coming up. And I just want to say we've picked up, let me put it this way, very briefly. For all of June, we had such and such an amount of listeners. Already in July, we have beaten that. So thank you.
By a lot. It's almost like a 400% increase.
Yes.
So thank you all for making this worthwhile. Thank you. Seriously, Dean works. I'm going to say it right now. Dean works his ass off at this show. He wanted to do something special. He was tired of that other show we talked about, and it was Tony Lane, okay? I'll mention his name because who cares? Again, we spent 4 years over there. I spent a good part of 4 years over there. He was on and off because it was so much fun, and he worked his tail off trying to get that show off the ground and was just basically told nothing. There was no feedback, no nothing. Same old, same old. He wanted to do something special. I decided, because of lack of interest on the other side, to put all the other extra time I had into the show. And the fact that every single week, even if it's two or three or 50 or 100 people, every week there's an increase. It makes it worth it. And, you know, he's not paying me. I'm not paying him. Really, thank you for the show. There's been a lot of opportunities, however minute or small other people think they are on a radar, since we've done this show, and I appreciate what you do. We're interviewing Dan V. Severn tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay? Who were we interviewing a year ago? Right, exactly my point. Thank you very much. So thank you to the listeners, and I know you wanted to say thank you, but I think I covered that.
Well, no, I want to thank you and Mark as well. Mark, of course, when...
Who?
Well, Mark has, like, work and life issues. And
I know. Mark, you are sorely missed. I don't want you to... I know you... we both got a good sense of humor. I'm breaking your chops. It's not the same without the three of us.
It's a unique combination, and we're finally going to be live together in one place, which is very exciting to me.
Hold hands, have a mantra.
It's going to be something, and I you know, thank both of you for what you bring to the show. You took over the Tank Tolan interview, and I appreciate that. But things like that, you know.
Things like that. You prepare me, and I just, nine-tenths of the time, I just do it off the cuff because it sounds more natural. I mean, if I was reading something, it would sound worse to me just going,
Exactly. So, this show...
blowing each other.
No, but this show, it's only 3 months, less than 3 months old, actually. And already... Yeah.
Ship from the other show.
Oh,
and I'm
correct.
Sure two or three of the ten are people who listen to this show, so...
Yeah. So... No, it's just an amazing thing. And like things like the Dan Severn thing, things like that are going to happen. And they're going to catch you off guard. And the way I look at it, you just got to grab it. And
hey, you were right earlier when you said that. And let me just say something else without alienating or ticking everybody else. We're not going anywhere. I feel this show sounds good, performs well. We're not going anywhere. Get used to Hell in a Cell, folks.
Amen. You know, there's sometimes that I look at a few of the stats and I go, I'm so angry. But overall, frankly, and this isn't what the listenership I want, but frankly, if we have a core audience that enjoys the show and backs the show, I've done my job. So...
And that's all you can do, man.
And Dan and Mark and Ryan, behind the scenes, Ryan does a hell of a lot.
He types a lot.
Besides typing, he does a hell of a lot. He gets me to and fro. At the live show, he's going to be getting the people lined up.
He's our producer.
He's
our wrangler.
He does a hell of a lot. So,
he's a gopher.
Go for this, go for that. And he knows, but... He's a tremendous help behind the scenes.
I'm going to give him that. Yeah, and it's well appreciated because you come from something miserable and you go to something that you actually have everybody working to achieve the same thing. It's pretty nice.
And, things like that, promotion. I mean, he's bringing, like, another – I thought you bringing, like, four people to the show was amazing. But he's bringing, like, another four. You know, so just that. It's just an amazing growth. ECWA, I think, along with us and New Moon Rising Wrestling, I think we're all pushing each other to the same place.
When you have the backing of the wrestlers and the promoters, and you got people listening, that's all you really need, man.
Amen, brother. Is there anything else?
I need punch and pie.
You need punch and pie. I need someone to take me home.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?